relax and get loose while I put you up on game. The Figure Booth with Josh and Nate, this that podcast folk. Those in the know, Batman vs. Iron Man, how would it go? We talking one of a kind, collectibles, Mezco toys are respectable. It's unacceptable if it's not in the packaging. Nate don't take pics if you ain't rapping it. Nate's dirty tricks are always happening, but damn it, man, don't you be stressing. Round here we believe in plastic confessions. We trying to figure out the figures that's gonna stand the test of time. That G.I. Joe handmade hit me in the spine. There's perfection in the way that these toys are made. But I also wanna know, do I pick Wade or Slade? So this is where I come to kick it with the guys. The Figure Booth, like, comment, and subscribe.
Welcome back, Toy Fam. You have made it to another episode of The Figure Booth. It's time to sit back and relax. I'm your host, Josh, a.k.a. Prime to the First.
Hey, guys. It's Nate, a.k.a. Figure Fan underscore Nate. You have reached episode 25, which we're calling Investments.
Yes, the investments. And for episode 25, we got a special treat for everybody because you recently saw our interview with 796 Studios. But he decided to tag along with us, so we brought him along for our episode this week. So let's bring him on into the Figure Booth.
I'm back.
Hey, Mario's back.
It's been a while, guys. How you been?
Well, you know, it's been a long day. Let's just put it that way. Laying a lot of the information, the great dialogue we had, I let it marinate, and I was like, all right, let's put it into practice. And then I couldn't find my battery for my camera, so. In one ear, out the other.
Oh, that's not acceptable, Prime. You're going to have to get back into that toy photography.
Yeah, I need to.
It's so much fun.
And Mario's got a lot of actually tips. One of them that he just showed me. So
yeah, so we're,
maybe
we're,
we'll talk about that in a dirty trick and educate our audience.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's right.
And you know, bringing it to everyone's attention, what we want to share, why are we calling this episode 25? What we're going to do is talk a little bit about some of the investments when it comes to your collection, or it could be tools of the trade. And it was great because Mario, you and I were talking, and we were talking about, hey, what are some of the investments that we share.
Yeah. It was more investing in tools, and some can see, you know, action figures as an investment, right? Like,
yeah,
look at the Pink Skulls, right? Like, yeah, they go for a grip now. But I was more, I was talking to you because I'm at this point in my, I don't know if you want to say it, just in this obsession,
yeah,
where there's a lens that I want that costs, it's going to cost like $2,000. And I'm like, do I invest in this? Like, mm-hmm, what's the return going to be? Like, how often will I use it? Will it bring me joy? Will it enhance the hobby that we love already?
Yeah.
And I was going to ask you at what point, cause I know you have all those tools, right? You have like what, three printers, you have a laser. And I'm like, at what point did you decide, okay, I should, or I need to invest in these tools?
Yeah. Well, I don't have the laser yet. I have the CNC and the
printer. The CNC, right.
The
right.
Laser is on my get list. I don't think it's going to be this year. I was saying this year, but I think it's probably going to be next year. But yeah, it was a huge, huge undertaking of like deciding, okay, the CNC, it was pretty costly. And I could have bought in a ton of figures. I could have gotten several Pink Skulls. I could have, you know, just lived out, but I was like, all right, everything I had been doing with my arcades and stuff, I have enough to put it back into the business. Yeah. If you want to look at it that way. And I could pump out even more. Cause we talked when we were talking in our interview about the flight stands and how that demand is so high and things of that nature, right? And how you can keep up. And sometimes it sucks. People would reach out to me and I'd be like, I'm booked out for a couple months. Like I can't keep up because it's only one guy here from his garage working. And a lot of it was handmade, right?
Right.
Either using a scroll saw and hand sawing. Everything was very manual. So I was like, okay, how can I keep up with the demand, but not only keep up with them, but then give them a better quality end product, something that's even more polished. Because I think you and I, we share that same expectation of ourselves where it's like, I need to be able to do better than I did even yesterday, or the my end result, how can I make my arcades even better than they were a month ago? Right. So I did a ton of research at what CNCs, the cost, the size of them, whether some were mobile, like how big, how much did I really want to pump out? And at the end of it, I went with the CNC. It was close to, I want to say like at the end of it, 2,500, but it was
an X card.
It's the X card. Yeah. And it's, I went, they have two sizes. I went for the larger one just because I was thinking, okay, now, right now it's arcades, but I eventually wanted to get into like, or want to get into like furniture building, you know, and from a hobbyist, like, okay, what can I do for my collection that I can use this CNC to, what can I make with it? And that's where my mind goes. I'm like, what am I missing in my collection right now? I need shelves that represent my collection. Okay, some themed shelves or themed something. It's there. And that's what I've been kind of like, brainstorming right now.
You know, the more you mention CNC, the more I'm like, I think I need a CNC machine now. But I don't think I have room in the kitchen for it.
And that's the thing, because it's another whole different software you have to learn, right? It's a learning curve. And I talked to this with Mike from High School Creations. We talked about that learning curve. And you know that the possibilities, there are so many people out there with CNCs. They do so much. It's not just one medium. You can do furniture. You can do coasters. You can do small things. You can do big things. Like, you know, there's a guy that I was talking to. He does, and this is all he focuses on, is like Halloween props. So he does like tombstones out of foam and things like that. And I'm like, damn, like I can... we can go hard on like the horror stuff, and that's it. Yeah. That's just one niche, you know? And it's all just revolved around the CNC.
Yeah. It seems like you were able to quickly justify the CNC purchase because you had those orders and you're like, okay, well, I'll be able to pump more out and pump, you know, better quality. But for me, it's a lens. And I think Nate, you could probably like relate to this. Like, it would just be to take cooler shots or more crisp shots. I don't know, Nate, have you ever like felt, or been at that crossroads, like, okay, like here's a lens that I need to get, or a camera, or what have you ultimately
even lights.
Decided to? Yeah, or yeah, well, yeah, lights yeah. is a no brainer. You absolutely need lights, but like a lens, and you can get by with like cheap lights because they ultimately do the thing. But a lens is a big step, and I think for most photographers, like when you change, you know, to like for example, like the Canon 60mm macro, then your game has been upped to some degree. So
yeah, I think that's a way that a lot of people continually try to innovate, because you know, to you or Prime's point, you guys can continue to pump out what you know and what you can do easily, like the flight stands, it makes money, or the arcades, it makes money. You don't really necessarily have to change the process, but you want to continue to innovate,
right,
and to expand that reach. So to offer something new to your customers or to your audience, it's like, okay, I'm going to get this CNC. I'm going to offer better quality. I can improve my process. I can pump out more stuff. So I think it makes sense if you really want to continue to grow, you're going to need to look at things outside of just pumping out content on Instagram. It's like, how can I continue to, you know, up that bar a little bit more? And I think with toy photography, you see that a lot. Like for a long time, I used a Nikon D3200. You know, just a fairly basic camera. But when I started toy photography, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. So I was like, I'm not going to go out and buy a $2,000 camera.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to buy something that is cheap. And I think that camera was like maybe $450.
Yeah.
But I learned so much about how to just use cameras and what the settings mean and really how to kind of dial in a shot. Because, you know, if you think that you're going to go out and buy a mirrorless and then instantly get good shots, you know, you're sadly mistaken, because it's going to take a lot of investment. And I think that might be a mistake. You know, make sure it's something that you're passionate about before you go out and start to spend all this money and really get into the hobby. And I did the same thing where I used that Nikon D3200. And then about a year and a half ago, I bought a Sony a7 III, which is a mirrorless camera.
Nice.
Because I felt like if I was going to upgrade, I might as well get something I really want. And then I know it's going to last me for a long time.
Yeah.
But it really changed the quality of my shots and what I'm able to do with it. But, you know, things like that, or like a new lens, that's the next thing I'm actually thinking about right now. I love that you brought that up, because I'm like, I've been looking at new lenses.
Yeah.
But you can, you know, maybe spend $500, But if you spend $2,000, you're going to get what you pay for. And I think that's what it, when it really counts.
You know what, Nate? I had no idea.
He just pushed you over the edge right there.
Well, here's the thing. I had no idea that, Nate, you shoot on the A7 III. So yeah. I use the A7 III for all my, like, my videos, my cinematic stuff.
And it's amazing.
The A7 III, it's a great camera. I mean, it's great for photos, but for the longest time, it was the champion for mirrorless video because it shot 4K at up to, I think, 60, or maybe it was 30, but it did 120 frames at 1080p, which is nuts.
Which is insane. Yeah.
And dude, you shouldn't have mentioned that because I have in my cart, I have a bunch of lenses that now I'm just going to send to you and be like, hey, you could do this with that. Yeah, and I'll share the lens that I almost bought it today. So I called this camera store, Dot Camera, that's like 15 minutes away from me. And I'm like, do you have it in stock? They're like, yeah, we have it in stock in our warehouse. And I'm like, oh, you don't have it at the store? Never mind. I'm not going to buy it. So it saved me like $2,000. But yeah, man, it's interesting that you shoot an A7 III, but you did bring up how many photos did you take with that old Nikon?
Gosh, thousands ton, right? upon thousands of shots, you know, yeah. So many shots. And that's how I learned really to get, and I still feel like I still have a lot to learn, but mm-hmm. it taught me so much about how to control light in the camera. Cause I started out on my phone, you know, just using my phone. Cause I didn't want to invest a lot of money into it. I had a Samsung Note. So I'm like, oh, the picture quality is pretty good on this. And then you realize that can only take you so far.
Right.
And if you really want to get to that next level, you're going to have to invest a little bit of money outside of just the figures. You got to do stuff that's really, you know, kind of, adding to the hobby a little bit more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like other things like the cameras. So I started looking at cameras and I'm like, you know, I could spend less, but I want to get something that's really, you know, top tier because I feel like I've got a passion for it now. I really want something that's going to last me a long time. And I don't feel like I'm using that camera to its fullest capacity anyways, because like you said, it's really got a lot of video capabilities that I don't utilize, which I probably should more.
You absolutely should. It's one of the best. Do you still have your old Nikon?
Actually, no, I don't. I sold it to a friend of mine that was getting into photography. And I said, you know what, man, let me just sell you this camera for like $200. Just take it off my hands, you know, start learning it. But yeah, I kind of wish I would have held on to it now that I think about it because I can go back and use it again, but.
Right. You know. So that brings me to my point. So I still have my old, so for my photos, for the toy photos that I shoot, I still use my old Canon SL2, which was just like your entry level. I have good glass on it though. I have the Canon 60 mil macro, but that would be a cool exercise for you to grab your old camera and then take a shot with knowing the stuff that you know now and see, you know, if you can replicate what you're currently doing, but with the old camera, because I feel, and this goes to our point, the topic of the episode, like at what point do you know when it's time to upgrade or invest? Because I still take pretty decent shots with that old camera. You know what I mean?
Right. And you look back like, was it really necessary to do that?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Maybe not, but it's like, you know, I felt like I wanted just to get to that next level, and mirrorless, the quality of it is just so pristine, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like I have seen that in my shots. I'm able to get a little bit more detail than maybe I used to be able to get with my 3200, but I also need to invest in better glass.
Yeah. What lens do you have? What lens do you shoot on?
I've got the kit lens that came with it. So I got the, I got that Sony a7 III that came with the lens. So I think it's a 35 to 70 millimeter lens. So it's not even a macro, which I need to get a macro for it, but that's just, I haven't invested in it yet.
The, if you need a reference that, the latest shot I took, but the one before that with the Golden Legion, that was shot on the A7 III, which is rarely done. I only shoot my diodes on the A7 III, but that was shot A7 III with a 40 millimeter macro Zeiss Batis lens. So, and Prime, you know, I'm about to get some enabler points because I'm sending Nate all these links later.
Hey, you're a guest on our show. We split the points. We split the points.
Oh, that's right.
I take commission off the points. It's 60-40. 60 my way, 40 your way.
Percentage.
percentage.
So is that the shot?
That's cool, Nate.
With the caption, the backup, is that the one you did on the A7 III, or is that the one before that?
Which one? What did you say?
It's got the caption. I'm not sure exactly what figure this is, but it says the backup is your caption.
Oh, no. That was with the Canon. So the one prior to that, the one with the three figures, the Joy Toys, the golden armored ones. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I mean, you're at a point where, I mean, you're getting the same quality in your old Canon that you are with your Sony A7 III.
Well, it's weird because I feel like sometimes it's different focal length. So one's at 40 mil and one's at 60 mil. So 60.
Okay.
There's obviously more compression because it's a higher focal length, but it provides different feels. But I feel like if I, found an equivalent lens, right? So a 60 mil on a crop sensor was probably equivalent to 100. So I'm sure there's a 100 mil macro lens for the Sony that would still produce that type of feel. I would say, for photographers, if you're looking to invest, glass is probably the best investment. Would you guys agree?
I agree. Something like you feel like, I got the camera. Why do I need the glass? But the glass is like the essential piece of that camera that it really makes the difference. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing I haven't invested with my Sony, but that's one of the reasons why I like the Sony is because you can do the full frame or the cropped frame. Mm-hmm. So if I want to get more focused, I can do that pretty easily, which I love that. But it's not 100% necessary, because I could go back to an old camera that has the smaller crop and get the same result. And a lot of the times I do find myself using that smaller crop just to get real in on the details, like that last Joker shot I did was with a smaller crop.
Yeah.
Cause it helps you focus in a little bit more.
So what would drive you over the edge to like say, all right, tomorrow I'm buying a new lens?
I mean, I don't know if there's really one thing. I just haven't really taken the plunge. I think for me, I'm so particular about things that like, I want to make sure I'm getting the one that is, I'm not going to regret later on. Like, man, I wish I would have got this lens or I wish I would have got that one. And there's just so much stuff. Like you said, I've got tons of shit in my wish list of just different lenses that I've looked at. And I've talked to so many people like, which lens do you prefer? Which lens do you prefer? Should I get a 40 millimeter? Should I get a 50 millimeter? Should I get a 70? I don't really know. I think it's just finding one that is highly recommended. I think would really maybe push me over the edge.
You could rent lenses too.
I didn't even think about that.
Really. Yeah. They had at Dot Camera. So they had the lens, but it was for a Canon. They're like, you'd have to, use an adapter. You could still do it. I'm like, no, if I'm going to try it out, I want to try it natively on the body itself. So, but renting lenses prior to, spending all this dough on glass, go to your local camera store and rent it out and then take a few shots. I did that with, ultimately I ended up buying the lenses that I wanted, but I did test them out prior to making the purchases for these baddest lenses that I have.
I didn't even think about renting lenses, but I actually do have a camera store pretty close to me, which I readily go to check out the lenses, but I never thought about renting it. That's a great idea.
We were just talking about renting figures. That was it. Not lenses. We're like, man, what if you want to rent a figure?
That is not. It's not a good idea because you're not getting those figures back, man. I'm sorry, dude.
They're gonna be missing the legs. Yeah, you're not getting any of those figures back. It's funny.
You might get them back, but they'll be like a knockoff. I'm like, wait, this isn't my.
It'll be a big swap, dude.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
To the max.
Yeah, I didn't fully flesh out the idea. For sure. It was just more of like, hey, this is a good way to get rid
of it. Yeah, we're pumped about it. It was funny. Some of the responses we got, it was like, oh, what if it comes back from a smoker's house? Or what if it comes back missing accessories? Some of the comments I was like cracking up. They were like coming up with all these horror stories.
Yeah, somebody could wear out the joints and you get it back and it's just like all loose. You're like,
shit. Yeah, exactly.
This thing was brand new when I gave it to you.
There's no way.
Imagine.
No.
We'd be in business for like 2 days and then
just stick to borrowing figures from your friends and that's it.
And even that sometimes is bad.
Yeah, never give them back.
You keep them for a year. You're like, hey, where's my but like following that topic of investments and even looking at your own collection, do you see your collection as an investment to support your hobby?
Yeah, man. I never go into it like it's an investment, but let's be, you know, honest with ourselves. Yeah. A lot of these figures on the secondary market go for insane amounts, right?
Yeah.
And I do see it as an investment, but in a way to fund further like obsessions, right? Like we were on the last episode, we were talking about, you know, the stuff that I sold to get into Acid Rain, right?
Yeah.
For example, I had brand new in box. I had, at the time I was a Batman fanatic, right? I had a Hot Toys DX12, right? I think it was Dark Knight Rises, Christian Bale, Batman, Hot Toys. And it was, I think on the secondary market, it's going over like 500. So not too bad, because I think originally it was like 330. Mm-hmm. And I sold it, well, for like 250. Quick sale, right? Crazy. But yeah. I knew, like, if there's something that I want, and I never want to dip into like my money, meaning like funds for like, you know, I don't know, if the car breaks down or whatever. Yeah. Like, I'd like to use money from figures to further fund other figures, if that makes sense. And that was something I had in the back burner. I knew I needed, you know, like those cases, like breaking case of emergency. Yeah. That was the Dark Knight. Shipped them out, and then I was able to get like Capybara Red. Yeah. So I see it as an investment, again, to just fund other purchases, but never like, oh, I'm going to buy three Sentinels and then flip them off for like $1,000 later,
right?
Which I might do, but still, I don't view it like that.
You know, at least you can own it though, because
I think there's
just so many people that do that, that are afraid to admit that they do that, you know, especially with Mezco.
Yeah.
You know, people grab Mezcos because they know the value is going to go up, and it's not a bad thing to admit that you're doing it for an investment, but it's like this shunned idea within the community, like, you're a scalper. Like,
that's not necessarily
true. I'm not going to charge eBay prices for it. I might charge a little bit more than retail.
Right.
Right.
But, you know, it's an investment for myself, and I don't think that's a bad thing.
Right.
You know, those are figures I'm going to use, but down the line, Mezcos hold their value really well. So it's not like, I'm just doing it for the money.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, if we're looking at it, like, you paid, let's say, $80 for a figure and it goes for $500, you'd be stupid not to sell it for $500, right? I'm impatient. I just want to get rid of these figures so I can buy other figures. So I will sell it at whatever. So let's say the figures in my cart cost like $120. I'll sell it for $120, right? Just enough to cover that. I think, you know, it's kind of subjective, you know? It's like, do what you want, right? As long as you're not, I don't think there's no right or wrong answer to this game, you know? It's what the market dictates,
right?
And then sell it, right?
Right.
If the market says, hey, Pink Skulls are an investment, well, it is, you know? And then sell it and get your dough.
Oh, yeah. Just a couple months ago, there was this guy on IG, and I've known him for years, and I've bought stuff from him, and you know, you build these friendships and stuff. He was looking for a couple of older Marvel Legends. It was like a Black Suit Spidey from the Red Hulk wave, a couple of DCUC figures that they go for like $30 to $40.
Right.
They were sitting in my bins. They're all bagged up and stuff. And I was like, dude, $20 for yours. Like, I don't, like, to me, I'm not. And he was like, oh, I'm seeking these. I'm ending them all. Those are hard to find. I checked eBay listings. The sold prices currently, it was like $45, $35. You know, they were like, I could have easily charged him $30. I was like, you know what, dude? Like, we've been cool. I think he's bought in a couple of arcades. Like, regardless of, but we had a relationship, right? And I was like, $20 here. I'm just going to charge you the standard, like, retail for a Marvel Legend. And he was like, what? That's crazy. He's like, I'm like, 20 here. Boom, boom, boom. Whatever. To me, it wasn't about, like, oh, I'm going to try to milk this figure for everything that it's worth. I got those extra funds, and I'm like, I'm going to put it down for the next Mezco, because at that time, I was trying to, you know, scalp the Mezco.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Well, I think that's
I don't worry about that portion so much.
Well, I love what Mario said, is like, try not to test your wallet if you can avoid it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, why spend more money when you have money sitting in bins in your storage?
Exactly.
You know, you got money just sitting there. Mm-hmm. And you're not using it. And I think it's just, we get so attached to certain things. It's like, I can't let that go.
Yeah. Right?
But when's the last time you looked at it? You know, how long has it been sitting in that box? Why don't you just, you know, if you've got these we all have these BBTS pages where I'm sure we have things sitting in the cart at all times. I'm the same way.
Yeah.
Every time I go back to my BBTS car, I'm like, oh shit, I've got four or five things in there. So then I'll go buy, you know, I'll go sell some figures. And then like Mario said, I'll go and purchase that. I don't feel guilty about it at all because I know I use figures to buy figures. It's like, it's almost like they say, make your money work for you.
Right.
It's make your figures work for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because then you don't feel so guilty about it.
Yeah. Right. I mentioned reframing your, you know, just your thought process. Right. So whenever, and don't get me wrong. There's been times where I've sold figures and people were like, dude, that was a killer price. Did you know it's going for this on eBay? And I'm like, fuck man. Why did you tell me that? I don't want to hear that.
Why you got to ruin that,
man? Yeah. Cause I never check. Right. I'll have to go to like the enablers group chat and be like, guys, I just sold it for this. And Prime will be like, you idiot. No, but you know what? And then I go, I look to myself and I say, you know what? Was it, if the dude came up to me in a trade and was like, hey, I got this brand new Capybara Red acid rain figure. I'll trade you for your Hot Toys Dark Knight. I'd be like, hell yeah, let's do it. So, you know what I mean? Like, and if I just trick myself and think,
I'm taking notes here.
Right. Then I'm like, okay, then I didn't lose my investment, so to speak, or whatever the case is. It just, it helps me cope with the fact that I may have lost money. Although you never lose money you never had.
It's all state of mind. No. And I mean, that's a really hard sell for me to wrap my mind around, but I get what you're saying. And that, I love that because it's really, I don't know. There's a portion of it where it's like you said earlier, the monetary behind that, you don't care about that. You just want to get the end result where it's like, hey, wait, let's just do a trade. I don't care if this is worth, what you have is worth, you know, $100 and what I have is like $500.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's
awesome. And again, that's not for everybody. Right. There's a lot of people that they know they got to get everything.
I want to get top dollar for my stuff.
Exactly. And again, you'd be smart to do that. Right. Because if the market is saying it's $500 for that, don't sell it for $100. Right.
Right.
But for me, like my personality and in my brain, it's like, I'm over it in like 3 seconds and I'm on to this new shiny thing. Right.
Yeah.
And then I obsess over that until the next new shiny thing. So again, that method works for me. And I've really grown to seek out and embrace the whole detachment mindset.
That's a huge plus. And that's really hard for, like, I'm listening to every word you're saying. I'm like, man, I wish I could do that. And I want to be able to do that more because I think it's a feeling of freedom. The minute you're like, I don't care. $10. Like what? I just want to get rid of it. And especially like this year I moved and I got rid of a bunch of like other stuff that obviously is not figure related. Right. I got rid of, and just paying somebody to come in and just get rid of all this junk. I had all this space and I'm like, oh my God. And now I'm trying to transition that to figures. And I showed you all my bins and I'm like, I need to get rid of these bins. Cause then I can have something so much more awesome that I could have. I could set up like a whole photo booth where I can take some shots or something, or I can do something else with the space. And it's, right now it's just full of Marvel Legends and
it's a cynical way of thinking, you know, but detachment is freedom. And I'm just reminded of,
I love that,
of Robert De Niro in Heat, one of the greatest movies ever. He's like, never get attached to anything that you can't run out on 30 seconds or less. And it's so true. It falls under like the whole FOMO thing. People are jumping on pre-orders and I've been guilty of that too, just because it's, you know, you're afraid it's going to sell out. I still have that mentality, you know, with some of these Megami device kits. If I see it on like Monoraki, I'm like, shit, I got to buy it right away because it might not be there the next day. But you know, the sooner you start embracing the whole, like, I don't need it. And if I do need it, I can always get it later on.
Yeah.
You will be much happier with your collection and the choices you make in terms of like, where do I invest my money? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think people get so attached to showing off what they have, you know, especially on Instagram.
Yeah.
It's like this race to acquire, but you don't see a lot of those people really appreciating what they have, or I don't know. I know I'm speaking in generalities here, but it's like, maybe make it a race to appreciate that figure, or not so much of just posting it and like, hey, got the newest wave, or found the latest NECAs, you know. It's like, that's cool, but you know, that's like a fleeting moment. It's one of those things, like you post it in your story and when are you ever going to see that again? You know, use stuff that you're gonna that's gonna further, you know, the utilization of the figure. Like if for me now, it's like I'm trying to approach it as these figures are a tool for my photography, and if I don't have like an immediate inspiration for it, I really probably shouldn't be picking it up because I know it's just gonna sit there, you know, when it comes in because I don't have anything that's really inspiring me about it. But if I get a figure in hand, or if I see a pre-order, then I'm like, damn, I already got three shot ideas for that. Like that to me is an investment, and not only in my enjoyment, but my Instagram account. Cause I'm like, okay, I can create at least three or four photos that I'm thinking in my head already about it.
Yeah.
Is that your standard for like, that'll be worth it to pick up the figure if I have it, if I can get at least like a certain number of shots out of this figure?
I would say I'm trying to be more that way. I'm definitely not perfect because I still get the FOMO where I'm like, oh, a new Mezco drop, might as well get it, you know. Yeah. And then I kind of look back and like, what did I just order? You know?
Oh yeah. I'm saying all these things too, but I'm still like a victim to FOMO and stuff. I'll pre-order stuff and I'll acquire things and I'll open them and then they'll just go back in the box and I don't get a chance to appreciate them. It's, you know, as collectors, I mean, dude, it's like we're hoarders, you know what I mean? Oh, and we're always seeking the next thing. And these companies now are like pumping out like the newest hot shit, and it's hard to let go. I'm slowly getting to that point where it's like, okay, I don't need everything. But yeah, I mean, there's going to be certain figures that, fuck, I need to have it, you know what I mean? And then once I get it, it's just going to sit there, you know? Right. But it's good to recognize that, hey, that is happening. And then, you know, if you need to sell that figure to buy the next obsession.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's a dangerous game when you don't admit that you are doing that, even though you know that you are, you know, it's like, just admit that, yes, I'm probably buying too much stuff. And yes, I need to take a check and make sure that I'm not spending excessive amounts of money that I might not have on just getting a figure that I want to post in my story and say that I have it. You know, it's like, it's not really about that. It should be about something that it's creating more of a passion for you for that figure, or it's driving something else and not just because you can say that you got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's still a good feeling to know though. Like if push came, like if for whatever reason, God forbid, like the hobby had to end for me, right? Like I needed to pay for like, I don't know, like a medical bill.
Yeah.
It's good to know that these figures still retain their value and you could sell it. Right. So I think figures are a better investment than most or other hobbies. Right. So for example, I used to be really into like buying cars and building them up and souping them up and whatever. Right.
Yeah.
And then you go to sell the car and you get a fraction of what you put into it and what you paid for the car. Right. But for these figures, for the most part, they either go up in value or they hold steady at what you paid for them.
Right. Yeah. No, and that's great. That's a good, I think, segue for good discussion on investments. I think we can keep going on because there's so many stuff.
Yeah.
And that brings us to pre-orders. A lot of new announcements lately this past week or so. Were there any that really piqued your guys' interest on pre-orders?
I'll let Mario go first on that one.
What came out was the What If Wave? Was that announced this week or last?
That was last week.
That was a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or was it? Okay. I think after seeing, you know, especially today's episode, and again, Marvel Legends, we talked about it the last episode. Yeah. Like it's hard to let go, but I didn't pre-order those, but I was highly considering that one.
Yeah. Those Marvel Legends are really pulling me back in because after seeing the very first episode, I immediately went and got myself a Hydra Stomper. Mm-hmm. And I'm debating of getting a Captain Carter just because she looks so cool in the show.
Oh,
and
I think
I'm
you like, should.
But I don't know. The figure, it doesn't, I don't know. I don't think it really captures, I don't know. I'm on the fence because at the same time, I'm like, why am I diving back into it? Am I diving back into it just because I'm like riding this hype train? I pre-ordered some of the Fantastic Four Retro Wave. Mm-hmm. I pre-ordered that 3-pack with Cannonball, Domino, and Richter. And that's because I want to complete my X-Force team. So there's certain things where I'm like, if it's comic related, I'm all in when it comes to Marvel Legends. From now till the day I stop breathing, as long as it's comic book related, I'm all in. So this What If show, it's really, really good. But I'm like, do I want Marvel? I have bins and bins of Marvel Legends.
But these are new Marvel Legends.
I know. That's, yes.
I will say this though. I have a gripe with the, and I'm going to get the Captain Carter because it looks good. But here's the thing. She's smiling in that head sculpt. And like for the majority of like the episode, she's kicking ass.
Okay,
and like,
so that's, yeah, I want, yeah.
I need like an expression pack or a different just head Captain sculpt Carter, where she's like screaming and throwing her shield at somebody. And that's, you know, that's the biggest gripe with like the Marvel Legends. It's like you're limited with
the one expression
and what you can do. Yeah. I mean, you can only photograph her and like, I don't know, maybe she's like having that drink with Steve, you know, when Stark came in.
Yeah.
So, but that's on the list. And then I don't know what else was announced for pre-orders this week. I usually kind of am off the grid until like Chamba says, did you see this?
Oh yeah.
Did you get that, the Black Mold Mosquatch?
No, Mexico I saw today. I saw that on Toymigo's thing. I passed. Well, I sold pretty much all my Mezco stuff, but I passed on that, the original green one and the commander, the one with the brown pants. That was the Commander Gomez, right?
Commander,
he had the animated head sculpt.
Yep.
That might be one of the purchase or the sales that I regret. I might, and I sold it to Mike too, so I'm sure I could get it back if I really wanted.
Yeah, it's not one that I was like, you know, it's another variant, and it's like, it's, I don't know. I feel like they're doing a lot of that rinse and repeat, and a lot of people are like, oh no, it's another Mezco, it's the FOMO thing. But
yeah,
I'm trying to really starting to limit myself on that. Like, I don't need it. It's another variant of a figure that's going to come out. It's probably not going to be as sought after as maybe your traditional Mezco.
Yeah, they'll probably do like a white version and do like, you know.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, you're going to see like a snowy Abominable Man version or something like that.
And recently with all the Mezco drops, the last couple ones with the Black Mold Mosquash and the Red Doc Knock, I passed on them. And it could be because my new addiction, and we'll get into that when we get to our plastic confessions. But, you know, and that's a good thing. Like now that I'm like, Mezco doesn't, it's like been there, done that. I need a new love in my life type of thing. So a lot of the Mezco stuff, it's just, it needs to be something that really pulls on my heartstrings.
Yeah. And you know what? The Black Mosquatch one, like, I think I might've picked this up from you, Nate, on one of the previous episodes, but now I'm more conscious of like dark colored figures, right? Or like if it's like the Black Krig or something like that, because they don't photo very well, you know what I mean? They absorb the light versus like a lighter color one will bounce it, or if you have like, you know, like a color gel or something like that, it'll enhance, you know. So there were like some Acid Rain figures that were up on pre-order, and I had them originally. I'm like, you know what? These aren't going to photo well, so I'm not going to get them. So I thank you for that because you saved me some money. But now it's another thing that I look for with like any sort of like acquisition of figures. Like, is this, how's this figure going to accept light? You know?
Yeah.
It's something you don't really think about until you have to struggle with it. And you're like, man, this is taking me a while to light this correctly. Like that, those Black Krig shots, I had a great time doing that session, but man, the lighting was such a struggle to try to get right.
Yeah.
Whereas you're talking about like if you have a figure that's wearing all white, it just it's soaking in that. So you got to be a little bit more careful with your color there, but it makes it so much easier because they just kind of pop off the page, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, for sure.
They did do the NECA Universal Monsters, the Mummy. I don't know. I don't see you post a lot of NECA stuff, Mario. You're not really into that line.
So I have, Josh has seen some bags of NECA turtles that I have.
Yeah.
I have the movie turtles, which I mean, you know, as a kid, you know, born in the 80s, growing up in the 90s, like you have to get those.
Yeah.
And then I have like the animated turtles, but outside of turtles, I don't really NECA much.
That mummy is classic, man. I pre-ordered that sucker so quick, throw them in my cart, already in my pile.
It looks amazing. I kind of have like a separate horror collection of NECA stuff, so it's hard to not pick that up. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's like it's just not up your alley. I respect that you stay strict to that. You know, because you seem very specific in what you like,
and they look good. My son has a NECA Shin Godzilla, which is, it looks phenomenal. The sculpt is great. Articulation, whatever, but he's, you know, he's really not getting them in dynamic poses and stuff. And then he wanted the NECA Pennywise, was it? They did Pennywise. Yeah. And I'm like, hell no, we're not having that anywhere in the house. So ask your mom for that. But they do look good. They got great sculpts, and from the limited amount that I have, everything else seems to be spot on. I haven't had any like breakage issues or like paint issues with NECA, so I've been fortunate.
Awesome. So that, I think that's gonna bring us into this week's plastic confessions. And since you are the guest, you'll go first, Mario.
Dude,
what's your plastic confession?
Oh my god, dude! I'm not winning any chips or tokens at all. I don't think I'm even allowed in those AA meetings. And you know what, Prime? This is your fault, man.
Yes.
Like a month ago. Well, hold on. You did get points, but I don't even know how we came about this. I think you messaged me. You're like, hey, you ever buy a joy toy?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I got one. And then I showed you the shot, and you're like, I think I'm going to get into it. And then it sparked this conversation, and then I had some Acid Rain figures. I took them out, and I'm like, damn, these are kind of cool. And then I fucked up, and I went on the website, and I looked at all the new shit. So apparently Acid Rain is now – so they were made by an old company called Ori Toys, and now they're made by this new company called Toys Alliance. I have a Toys Alliance figure – that cowboy robot or whatever that I loved and I opened up on an Enablers episode like two episodes ago. And now this week, we can swear here, right?
Yeah.
I have bought so much shit. I got, and they're all Acid Rain stuff because the week prior I had the Joy Toy stuff that I showed you. But I got, I don't know if you guys saw the story, but I got four of the Acid Rain Luggins. And if you don't know what that is, it's just, they're dudes in pajamas, but they have like cybernetic heads, and one guy has like a devil type head, and then they have weapons, right? It's so unique. They're vibrant colors. It's purple, blue, yellow, and red.
Yeah.
And then I picked up a capybara bike.
Yeah.
Motorcycle. And then I got, holy shit, the Kelsey, which is a female like captain. And then I got two army builders. And that's the thing with Acid Rain. Like, you can build.
Yeah.
They're army builders. So you can.
Yeah.
World building is so easy with these figures, right?
Yeah.
And then today, because I was running a little late, I had to go and pick up, and it, for the audible or the audio audience, I got this Joy Toy, or I'm not Joy Toy, Acid Rain Capybara Red. So this is a Akira, Kaneda inspired.
Oh, figure. Yeah. That's awesome. Gonna ask.
It so looks this a lot like Akira.
Dude, this bike is like Akira, right? Inspired. Mm-hmm. And this was, I had this on pre-order for like the longest, and then I was like, all right, I'm not going to follow through with Acid Rain. And then I canceled it, and then now I'm back in. So I had to go, unfortunately, to eBay to get this. I paid a little bit of a premium, but you know what? Yeah. Okay. I'm all in, and it's worth it.
Nice.
So my confessions are all Acid Rain figures.
That's awesome. Those little pajama guys, I wasn't asking about like how good they were and stuff like that, because, man, you posted that picture, and I was like, oh, this mother – oh, man, dude. I might have to get at least one. So I'll talk to you about it. I might have to get at least one, yeah.
I'll send you a link, because I did find them for literally half of what I paid for them, you know?
Oh, okay.
But you know what? I will say this, and then we can get to the next person. But they're so awesome, because there's nothing else out there like them. You know what I mean? They're so freaking cool.
All right. I think you're up, Nate.
So I had a bigger plastic confession last week, but this one's definitely a bit smaller. I didn't get as much stuff, but, speaking of Mezco, I did get the cut and stitch pack.
Nice.
So, you know, adding some extra soft goods, and I'm really impressed by, you know, the quality. You get the jacket.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Which is kind of the main grab I was after. I wanted to add a jacket to some of my Black Skulls, or just be able to customize them a little bit more. Not as impressed with like the net, you know. I know these are all in plastic, so you're not really seeing them, but you get the backpack, which I think we've seen many times before. The holsters are really cool, though. I think this is awesome. You know,
this is a plastic.
These are
or leather.
Are fabric.
Okay.
Yeah, they have like a fabric. They look kind of like they're leather-ish, you know? Like
a faux leather.
They have kind of like a faux leather mixed with fabric. And then, which I thought was really cool, is the vest.
Yeah.
So originally I thought it was going to be the same vest as Gordon.
Uh-huh.
But it's actually a different design, and it's got the straps. It's kind of like a real bulletproof vest where you've got straps that come off on the sides and the top.
Nice.
So you can actually really easily put it on figures. That's cool. And then I think the last thing is just the kind of like the weird Gomez sort of scarf thing.
Like a poncho? I think I've seen
you use it a few times, Mario, where it's like kind of a half poncho that sort of
just
you can articulate it. It's pretty cool. It's wired.
How much was that pack?
It was $50. So you're spending
that seems worth it.
But that's worth it because $50 for what jacket almost sometimes.
Dude, exactly. I mean, you'd get like maybe two, like a shirt and a pants from like GPS Lot. And this is much better quality. So that's worth it.
Yeah, it's the Mezco quality. So you're getting really good quality stuff. I'm happy with it. I think it's awesome. It's a great way to expand your figures a little bit more, customize them. But that's all I got this week. So pretty small haul.
Nice. We're just talking about small hauls. Mine's even smaller because I've been on the, and I know we've been talking about the bat, but I've been looking for this freaking Hot Wheels Blackbird X-Men jet up and down my freaking like city. I can't find it. I'm like, whatever. I gave up. I'm like, I'm not looking for it anymore. But I did end up picking up like a Hot Wheel here and there that were just like, either a nostalgic car or a muscle car. I found a couple of Batmobiles. I know some of them are out there calling them the Patmobiles because it's for the new movie. So I picked up a couple of those. But then I dove into, because I'm going now hard on this Joy Toy line.
Yes.
So I picked up, and it came in, the 4th Legion Stina.
Oh, dude. I was going to, she's in my cart right now.
Yeah. Man, so you need to get her. If she's in your cart, you need to get her because then I'll tell you about an idea I have for her. But yeah, so got her today, and I have a couple other Joy Toys in my cart that I'm just ready to click like pre-order. And it's so funny because I have so many, and these lines are so easy to army build. I have these mechs in my cart. I have these 3-pack soldiers in my cart, and my wife's like, "Hey, what's going on?" I'm like, "I'm diving into this other line. Like, I'm gonna go, you know."
Yeah, I think that's one of the you know the joys of this line, right?
Yeah.
It's easy to do the world building thing. Like even if you take something like Marvel Legends, which is, you know, to some degree more accessible or easily accessible, right?
Yeah.
It's still tough to do like the whole like world building with them, right? Right. Especially like hunting down troopers. But
that's right.
For Acid Rain, especially Joy Toy's on Amazon, you know, Acid Rain is the one and it's overpriced. Like that's the biggest, like, it's so dangerous because you can easily, like, they have a 6-pack. I showed you that on maintenance workers, a 6-pack for $130. That's $25 a figure. I think. That's another reason why
their articulation is on point. The paint scheme is on point. And I love that they have no backstory.
It's not your old Joe's figures.
You know exactly. And you can make, like you said, you can make their own backstory. You can do so much with it that it takes the pressure of like, oh, this is a certain character. I need to have this certain team. I need to have this. Like, I'm chasing down, competing with everybody else. You can just do your own thing, and then that's it. So I'm super excited to get into this lane. I think it's really like pumping up my creative juices of getting into a smaller scale. Not only what pictures can I take, but then what else can I make for it from like a creator type of
mindset. Sure there's like an untapped I'm sure they're like the you know the 1/18 scale community doesn't get much love in terms of like dials and props and stuff like that.
Well, get ready.
It's interesting to dive in. And another thing that I wanted to bring up, dude, they sell complete teams.
They
have like the 09 team or something like that. It's complete, it's a set, you know, so you're not like waiting months or even years to complete like an X-Force team. You get the entire set right there. So I'm all in on Acid Rain and Joy Toy to some degree. Thanks. And also screw you, Prime.
You're welcome. Well, so that's it. That's it for our plastic confessions. And this week we were going to have a Nasty Nate dirty trick, but we're going to put that on pause because we have Mr. Cha-Cha himself on the episode. So we're going to have a Cha-Cha lesson for you guys for our audio listeners and those watching on YouTube, we're going to give you guys a lesson in the 796 Dance Studios.
Yeah. Okay. So thanks, Prime. Thank you for giving me the spotlight. And Nate, feel free to chime in if you you know, either agree or disagree with anything I'm saying, because I know I'm kind of like encroaching on your territory here.
It's okay.
But rule number one, before anything, you got to stretch. You know, if you're going to, like, you know,
stretch
the club, or, you know, that dive bar, and you're going to be shit kicking the whole time, you got to stretch. Right? No, but I did want to share something. And I don't really think I show it off too much on my BTS. I do it a couple times, but it's has always stretched. Nice. With the atmosphere with photos, right? So the tip is going to be on creating atmosphere with your photos. And I know a lot of people, the go-to is either a fog machine or some vape, right? But I feel, one, it doesn't scale well, right? And it might be a little too, you know, it's too obvious, right? And I like having subtle atmosphere, right? So there's two things that you can do. I mean, one, you can go and spend big bucks and get like a black Promis filter or some sort of like Cinebloom filter. And I'll show you guys right now. And I demonstrated this earlier. And for the people that are listening through the podcast, it's a filter that has some sort of they spray it with like a fine kind of grit, which creates some sort of like haze. And I'm going to put it right now on my camera to show you. So it still preserves like the blacks. You can see it's a little faded, but right. If I turn on this light behind me,
you can see kind of like a haze. Yeah,
it's like there's like a halo effect, right?
Yeah,
and you have to manipulate your lighting to create that effect. And again, those filters are pretty expensive. And the only reason I have that is because I use them for when I'm making videos. The cheaper alternative is to grab a bag of poly, and I think Nate was looking there. It was like $13 for like a 20-pound bag that'll very last cheap. You and your grandkids their lifetime. So it's polyfill, and it's an alternative to cotton. It's essentially the stuff that's in like teddy bears and stuff like that, right? So I'm holding it up on camera. It's just fibers. You take it, you spread it out thin enough, and I forgot where I learned this trick from, but a lot of people will put it at the bottom of their lens, right? But I tend to cover everything. So if you move it close enough to the camera and then, you know, take some tape, I'd recommend getting like a lens hood so you can rest the poly in something, or if you don't have that, just take some masking tape and then put it on your lens. And now it creates this haze.
Crazy good. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And if you take the light, depending on like how you aim it on the poly, it also creates
even
further effect. That's you see? Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is crazy. That's really like mind blowing. Cool. You're like in picture, then all of a sudden out of picture.
It's a great alternative to like the atmosphere aerosol, because I get so concerned with the aerosol because I'm spraying some kind of, you know, substance on my figures, and like, is that going to stick to the fabric? You know, I shoot a lot of Mezco, so I'm really scared that it's going to do something to the figure.
Yeah. And I have a can of that. I only bought one can just to try it out, and it leaves like a greasy film or substance.
That's what I've heard.
Not only your figures, but like your workspace, you know, and I don't want that stuff on the dioramas. And again, it's a great tool and it's very effective. And there's things that atmosphere spray and vape can do, like in terms of like light trails, that the poly doesn't. But for me, if I just want to create like some sort of haze or maybe like fog on the ground or something like that, the poly fill is the best way to go. And I typically have that in all my shots now moving forward. So
awesome. That's a great
tip. It's something I never thought about using. Because I had told you before, I was like, I've used cotton balls, but I can't get the same get the same effect, you know. And you can only stretch a cotton ball so far before
using the wrong balls, Nate.
Yeah. Wrong and so the polyfill is kind of like it's kind of like a cotton ball, but not as thick. You know, it's a little bit thinner.
Yeah, it's fine. It's
a little
bit
easier to manipulate. So that's a really good tip, man.
Yeah, yeah. So grab a bag of polyfill. You'll never run out. And just experiment. You know, it'll take a while to kind of get the look and feel, but you know, practice. Make sure you thin it out. You don't need much. I mean, I took like a pinch of it, and I'm like spreading it out. You know, and it also doubles as like webbing for Spider-Man shots too. So
that's a great idea.
That's awesome.
You're getting some valuable tips here, everybody.
Cool. That was a good cha-cha lesson. Yeah.
You guys tired? Ooh, yeah. Grab a water.
Let's go. All right. So that is awesome. We're getting close towards the end of our episode here, and we want to end it with spotlighting somebody in the toy community. So our figure aficionado this week, and Mario, I asked you to, you know, look through and pick someone. Let's give them a shout out. Someone that, you know, deserves the spotlight.
Yeah. And I think this is going to tie into like the newest obsession, right?
Yeah.
So I found this guy, because I was looking at the Acid Rain official or Instagram, you know, where
they
repost like the fan shots.
Yeah.
And I want to highlight this guy because like it blows my mind that, and I know the measurement of success isn't like followers and whatever.
Right.
This guy's shots are so damn good, and he's being slept on. He only has 384 followers right now. So his name on Instagram is John_WhiteCat. And I think he's from China, but he mostly posts a lot of Joy Toy and Acid Rain stuff, a lot of the import stuff. And it seems like he has every single like Acid Rain figure, which was one of the reasons why I follow him, because I'm like, oh, now I need that. But you know what? Go check his stuff out. He has a lot of I'm looking at his stuff right now. He has 1/6 shots. He has a lot of Kamen Rider shots. And his photos, one of the reasons why I really like it is because he has that atmosphere type feel to
him,
what we were just talking about right now.
Yeah.
He's got that V-Toys Robin figure, that Cyberpunk shot up there. I mean, this guy's got like a ton of content. And I just feel a lot of people
crazy good.
Dude, they need to see his work. So I want to shout this guy out, give him the spotlight, because I want people to go check him out and just look at how phenomenal his shots are, man. It's very inspiring. It's inspired me to take that Joy Toy shot I did.
That's posted awesome.
The other day.
So. Yeah, and I jumped on there and I followed him too. Cause yeah, man, that's awesome. That's some killer photography. And that's the whole point of this.
Really great work. And what immediately got my attention was that Death Knight Batman. I love his perspective from the sword as you're kind of following that up to the figure.
Exactly.
That's a cool idea. Yeah.
And he posts the, I think on some of these shots, he's got like the behind the scenes. So you can see exactly like his set building and like the placement of the camera. I'd love to know like what lens he used for that shot, because it looks really close, but it's still wide enough where you can still, you know, see the background and then the perspective of the sword leading up to Batman, you know?
Yeah. That's awesome. He must have some kind of like high f-stop number or something to be able to get all of that into focus. But yeah, great shout out, man. I think he definitely deserves a way more following for the quality of work that he's doing.
For sure.
So for anybody listening, go check him out. Please go give him a follow. He deserves it. He's putting out some quality work.
Yep.
Awesome.
That's John_WhiteCat Instagram.
For sure. Awesome. Thanks. Thanks for the cha-cha lesson. Thanks for our figure aficionado of the week. We appreciate you having you here on the episode. I'm glad you were able to stick around and join us on this talk. It was a great talk.
Yeah. I had a blast with you, Mario, in both episodes. Thanks again for joining us. It was awesome to have somebody else as part of the episode, and really great tips and, you know, a good figure aficionado. So we appreciate you being here, man.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I could talk to you guys for hours, man. And I love your show. You guys know that. So thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Yeah. Man. Thanks, man. Let all of our audience know where they can follow you again. If they didn't catch our interview with you, it was the one prior to this. So make sure you check that out. It's also available on our YouTube channel, but where can they find you at?
Yeah. 796 Studios on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube.
Awesome.
I will drop a YouTube video soon, but make sure you subscribe.
Awesome, awesome. And before we end this episode, we do want to give a huge shout out to everyone for always supporting us, resharing our content. Hopefully by the time this airs, we'll have some lives going on too. So just make sure you stick to our IG page is figure.booth or our YouTube channel. We want to be posting up as many updates as we can for you guys to let you guys know how to catch our content, because we do want to bring some live streams so we can keep that engagement with you guys. A lot of feedback, whether it's via DMs or directly to our page, we love that. And that really encourages us to keep creating more content for you guys. So I've been your host, Josh, aka Prime to the First. You can follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all under Prime to the First.
And I've been Nate, aka figurefan_Nate. You can follow me on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. You guys have been listening to The Figure Booth.